Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Anne, and Melissa. Today's topic is strategic ways to accelerate ascension. If you have questions and you're not here on the show live, you can email them to us at any time. Look at the show description. It'll give you that email address and we'll talk about it and get back to you with an answer anytime. Boy, this ascension thing, it's a big one. It's why we're here, right? It's why we keep coming back lifetime to lifetime. And I think people don't understand ascension is not like a sudden process. It's a lifetimes long process.
I think what people's expectation is, you hear so many different versions of this. So there seems to be a wide range of expectation with people. I've heard everything from, you know, that you're from the ultra religious people that, you know, this is ascension and then into the rapture. Well, that's not what it is at all. It's the ascension of your gifts and abilities and a very wide viewpoint. The bottom line is, you know, you have to come to the determination in your heart and soul of where you are in this process and how you want to move through it.
Yeah, we're not talking about the view that a lot of religions have, what they call the rapture. This is something different. This is a spiritual process. So I want to clarify that.
Well,
and it's different for everybody.
Yeah, they think that, you know, they have the right answer on that. But the reality is, from the process of your soul aligning and then ascending, that's a lot about moving through the different dimensional fields and aligning yourself with the process of clearing, healing, and balancing that goes with that and the clarity you receive. So I think their opinion is, you know, formulated on a lot of the biblical statements, etc. But from the standpoint of ascension and awakening, of both, these are considered to be kind of two separate issues, but at the same time, there is an overlap with that too, because our gifts expand and we are moving through this process of kind of like we're working on our inner challenges, our inner resolutions, etc., so that we can rise through the dimensional field. So thinking about it from a standpoint of making it be a part of your strong physical alignment, realignment, when you look at it from the standpoint of rising up, returning at some point to complete work, it gets very complicated. So I can understand why people are confused.
For me, I think that's really good. I equate it like with almost like stripping away all of that heavier energy that you've accumulated over the years. And as we strip away that energy, right, we become lighter naturally. And so that ascension process becomes easier. And we sort of see those levels as we rise up and we feel the difference in our, not only our physical body, but our mental, emotional, and our spiritual bodies as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people, what I'm hearing lately, and I've said it myself a few times over the last year or so, is I don't want to come back anymore. I may have even said that before COVID started. I don't want to come back anymore. I don't want to be human anymore. And more people are saying that. I'm hearing that. But I really think that we don't have as much choice as we think we do, because the point of our being is to keep coming back and learning lessons
and becoming more a being of light and less of the dense human until we don't need to come back anymore. But it's kind of like, you can't be an elementary school kid with decent parents and say, I'm not going back to school anymore. I'm done after third grade. I'm done with the school thing. You can say it, but it's not going to get you anywhere, is it? And we all know that once we're back in spirit form, our higher selves know what's best for us. And we are going to come back here unless we have finished our process. So if you don't want to come back more than you absolutely need to, you want to get this process done in as few lifetimes as possible. That's what we're talking about today. That's what this is about. I don't think it's going to be a roller coaster ride to finishing it in this lifetime, but there's a reason why we're all here now, right? I think during these times of great challenge, we're given an opportunity to grow more, or we can sink down and kind of lose some ground.
Absolutely. For me personally, this past almost two years now has been really rocked me to the core. So I did have a choice in that, but it has been very difficult. As you said, you know, it either takes you down or it helps you grow through all of that pain and suffering that you have gone through. And I really think that a lot of people now, like you said, they're saying that I don't want to come back. I know I've said that too. I don't want to come back again. So I'm going to do my work while I'm here to get as far as I can for my soul so that she does not have to come back again and go through this.
Yes. Being human is hard.
It is.
I've heard that a lot this week as well. Like, I mean, several clients or friends have said, I do not want to do this. I think, to my, you know, I've had a few moments of frustration lately myself. And so I'm like, And I like to look at it over the years. I like to look at awakening, ascension, these processes as like we're a big universe or a big city or a big house. And we all have all these different systems going on. Like, for instance, in the house, you got electricity, you got water, you got to take out the trash, you've got to all these systems. So if we look at yourself as a big universe, then we're going to clear out some of the garbage, some of the imbalances, some of the layers of the lower energies, that dense, you know, gross, icky stuff that it's hard for all of us. And so that's it's almost like my little survival skill piece to look at it that way, because it's been so hard in spurts in our lives. It's been hard for all of us. And I agree. What if we're here just to bring it all together so that the earth plane and our next incarnation is not as tough? Oof.
That could be nice.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's what I'm striving for, at least in my mind, at least I'm striving for that.
And I know sometimes I war within myself, like knowing what I know and yet still being human, this whole thing about like the global warming. And, you know, I'm a tree hugger, I'm an earth, I'm an environmentalist, but I know that this isn't the only dimension. And I know if something happens to earth in this dimension, it's not happening in every dimension. And in other dimensions, it's already happened and healed itself and moved on. You know what I mean? There's different things happening in all these different dimensions. So the earth doesn't end because in this dimension, we don't take care of it. However, I'm in this dimension. I care about what's in this dimension, but that's the war. Is that a self-civil war going on in my head? You know, I don't know, but ascension process, the bottom line, I think the first thing we have to do is truly accept that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And we've heard that saying before, but hearing it and embracing it and believing it is a totally different thing. We have to stop thinking of ourselves as just one human being on this big planet. That's not the case.
I agree on that one too. On my universe theory, like if we were all a big universe and we need to get our planets in alignment and clean up that astral belt of ick or whatever it is, we are also aligning with everyone else, becoming one in one unity consciousness in this earth plane together. So it almost comes, at least my point of view is that we come together and we're trying to tune it like a symphony so that we are all in balance together. And I think it does matter. I think it does matter if you know, for instance, if we just were like, well, oh, well, it doesn't really matter because we're in human form, how we act, what we do, what we do to each other. If we just, you know, throw all our trash out into the ocean, it does matter. And I think that that's what the tuning up is, or the awakening part is, maybe in these times, to kind of come into harmony with each other and each other's higher views. Because I think when we come down to it, like 99% of the people, we all have the same true desire to come together and have a better planet, better for our children, better for the trees, and better for the water. And I think we forget those pieces sometimes, or at least I do, when I'm struggling in my own, you know, peace. And of course, always all of the work starts with our own selves first, but I think it's kind of cool watching how things are shifting and changing, and how it might be that we are catching on to how we can upgrade and uplift for all of us in that harmony. So I just think that all the light workers, like, thanks guys for working so hard through this, through the hard stuff. It's a tumultuous astral belt of craziness that's been, you know, going on for all of us off and on in our lives.
I think tumultuous hits it because it just seems like as the further we go in this ascension process, the wilder the ride gets. And, you know, a lot of people really do feel very overwhelmed right now by all the things we're encountering. But the reality is, when you just kind of go into yourself and you pull back and you tune into your soul and what your purpose is and what you feel you're supposed to be contributing to all this, it does get a lot more manageable, I think. I mean, I have times where I am literally, I mean, the people that I'm working with who are struggling with various situations, just trying to be in a conscious and mind connecting and spirit connecting with them to help them elevate and get through is a big deal. So it requires a certain amount of your higher consciousness to be in an observing, but also in an assisting mode.
And kind of following up with what Melissa said, we've all heard of the lone wolf, the person who wants to go it alone. A big part of ascending is to consciously step out of the lone wolf kind of thinking, out of the me and into the we. And I think a great example of lone wolf thinking on a global scale is when people are afraid of a one world theory, like having one world where all the countries work together and make decisions together. It terrifies them. And yet that is a huge example of we thinking instead of me thinking, instead of, you know, what's best for our country, what's best for our city, what's best for me, all humankind, what is best for all of us as humans together in making decisions. Because as our world gets smaller and we're more interconnected, what one country does affects what all the countries do. And let's talk again about pollution. You know, if you chug out a bunch of pollution into the air in one country, we're all breathing it in eventually. If you destroy the water quality, we're all ingesting that, using that water at some point. So there's nothing you can do that's not affecting everyone. And another example of that, remember the butterfly theory? That, like, if you step on a butterfly, then it affects everything. Well, that's true for like a ripple effect as well. Like, what you do ripples outward and affects other people, and then people beyond that, whether what you do is positive or what you do is negative. So thinking about what can I do that can affect the planet, everybody in the planet, in a positive way, instead of how can I make the most money? How can I get the most stuff and win the game, you know, the capitalism game.
Yes, the capitalism mindset.
Yeah.
A big detriment to all of that.
And along with that too is seeking spiritual teachers. There's no way, you can't lone wolf your way to enlightenment. I mean, to ascension, you need to find people who have done more, experienced more, know more than you do. And the same time, you're passing on what you know and have and experienced to people who aren't as far on the journey as you are. So it's that sharing of knowledge and willing to get knowledge from other people and not try to go it alone.
I think that's a good point. A lot of my students that come to me say that they've done it on their own for so long, right? And now they're looking for my advice or my help with mentoring them to teach them, how did you get from A to B? What was it that you did or that worked for you? And so we can look at that and say like, oh, well, this worked for me. It may not work for you, but this may work for you. So we talk about that and having that support system, just knowing that there's other people that you can ask for advice. I mean, I learned so much from you ladies when I was first coming into business with you three, and I've learned so much and I've had so much growth over that time. I really credit that a lot to my ascension now.
Cool.
And I think for, you know, somebody that has done this for 30 years, like been a spiritual counselor, guidance person, I never once could have done this without all of your help. And lately in particular, Terry Ann and I, we're both hypnotherapists and we've been like really like working together to help each other find the next steps and the next answers. I'm so grateful. And I appreciate that so much. It's expanded me so much.
Yes, the truly spiritually aware person understands they don't know it all. How can we? I don't know if we'll ever know it all. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah,
maybe ascended masters and angels and God. I have no problem at all with seeking assistance and continue to do so as a matter of fact.
Definitely.
No, I was just like, ditto, for sure.
Ditto. Roz was saying something that made me think about, I was thinking about all the things, like what's really helped me the most and what other people have talked about being so helpful. And I think that unconditional love, really striving for unconditional love, it's one of the hardest things, especially with the people you've known the longest, the people closest to you, with strangers, with new people in your life, with friends, it's easier. But the people that are closest to you, to truly love them unconditionally, not to fall into judgment, you know, all the things that can happen, but to accept them as they are and understand that they are you. Everybody is you. We're all interconnected. There's no getting away from that. And I guess moving away from the limitations of that whole separation consciousness. And realizing that mirror, we've talked about it before, that mirror thing, when somebody's really difficult for you, what are they mirroring to you? You know, what is it that you're supposed to gain from those interactions? It's not just torture for you. There's a reason for it. So separating yourself away from it, taking a dispassionate look at it. But that's something you do through your days. And I've got that, the Four Agreements book is sitting right there on my coffee table for a reason. I've been using it for something, but looking at it. But that book, I mean, talking about the don't take it personally, I think that goes hand in hand with this of realizing when somebody drives you crazy, they're not seeking to drive you crazy, even if it seems like it. It's a reflection of what's going on inside them. It's something about their personal journey that's going on here. You can take it into yourself as a personal thing, or you can step away from it and really see that, and it'll help protect you and help you see the situation for what it is and work towards unconditional love.
I think from the standpoint of just kindness, compassion, et cetera, it doesn't get higher than unconditional love. You know, that's the ultimate goal, is that you are able to work within yourself and not be passing judgment and constantly looking for reasons to doubt, to question, to, it really requires a huge commitment of your inner heart and your soul. Funny, because I read a lot of, and I watch a lot of things about animal rescue. I'm love that. Love to see people go out and rescuing children too, which they don't show a lot of, but there's a lot of that that goes on. And to me, that's a huge aspect of unconditional love. You're not thinking of anything for yourself except let me help you get through this. And if we took that same outlook and we applied it universally across the planet, I mean, we'd be in an amazingly different place.
We know we can achieve it because, look, most of us can easily have unconditional love for our children and our pets. I can't think of a thing my daughter could do that would make me not love her anymore, or my grandchildren, some other people in my life. I cannot imagine what would make me stop loving them. So we just have to allow ourselves to feel that love for more people. That's really huge, not just for our personal spiritual growth and ascension, but the planetary ascension. And sometimes, I don't know about you girls, I'm sure you've probably experienced something like this too. In a conversation, like I do spend some time with quite 3D people that are associated with me, and conversations will come up where they're like, I don't think we should help that country at all. I think they got where they are. And I'll say something like, can you imagine what it's like to live in a country where you and everyone you know are being killed and hunted down, and all you want to do is get your children to a safe place? And they look at me like I just grew a third eye and turned green. You know, they're just looking at me like, you are so weird. And I just can't understand why that's such a foreign concept. And that's just one example. That's not the whole thing I'm talking about. But a lot of people can't grasp that unconditional love for other people outside of their family or outside of the country.
It's true.
No, I think it's been a big role for many of us to kind of have compassion and that love for others that maybe others, it's tough. They're kind of tough to love. And I think that helps with the kind of the cleansing, clearing, I would call it, of our consciousness or our views. And if we can step forward and like Ivory said earlier, like kind of come out of that separation ideal mode mindset, then it can help us all kind of come into a next level of harmony together and do the right thing, do the higher choices. If we teach each other in those ways to choose the higher choices.
Something just occurred to me as you're talking, Melissa. It's like what we're really saying is, if you don't have a lot of empathy, that's a good place to start, is really working on developing your empathy, putting yourself in a position of someone who's going through something you've never experienced and allowing yourself to imagine what that must be like. And if you don't have empathy, you're going to have a very hard time ascending, because that's absolutely essential. So I think that's probably one of the building blocks. It's going to be hard to accomplish some of these things without it.
Crucial. I think when we, you know, when we look at strategic ascension in a strategic manner, we do have to focus in on those goals and those practices that we need to be contemplating, thinking about, and acting on every day. A lot easier said than done, of course, but I know all of us here have a commitment every day that we kind of start our day for a few moments with, not necessarily meditation, but prayer, affirmation, meditation, if that's what works. And focusing on being a part of this process of helping people and of rising and lifting ourselves too. Well, I like the idea that you're talking about having these specific words, specific actions, as kind of like, I'm such a list maker. Maybe I just can't get out of that. You know, just having these specific actions of love, unconditional compassion, kindness, understanding, that are the building blocks of the ascension process. And doing it without needing anything in return. I think you mentioned that earlier, like, you know, you're not tapping into any needy personality issue. You're just doing it to be serving.
I think the point was Arianna and Melissa have been doing something that's very important. I want to emphasize something about that. When you said we both do hypnotherapy, we've been helping each other. I think a big part of that falls under what I was going to mention of the importance of healing, integrating, and releasing what no longer serves. Whether you do it through hypnotherapy, whether you do it through thought field therapy, a lot of different ways of realizing the things you've been carrying with you and maybe feeling inside you, blocking you, holding you back, that you need to let go of, and finding the best way for you. Melissa and Terri-Ann are finding that through hypnotherapy. I help people through thought field therapy to release some of these things. There's tons of techniques out there. Find something. You don't, you know, this whole victim mentality, that's a choice. You know, you may have grown up in the most abusive home you can imagine, but it's your choice to make that a part of the narrative of the rest of your life. It can be something that happened to you, or it can be what you build your whole life around.
We're in a great time too, because people are really at that point where they're ready to look at this. What is it that holds me back? What is it that I would like to finally get rid of? I don't want to feel this anymore. I don't want to think about that hardship or that pain that I have. And how can I remedy that and fix that and use that then, after I go through the healing myself, but use that to help serve others in a similar way.
And that's what comes back to, like, examining your personal agreements about what is reality. And a big one with that, and for some reason, I notice, maybe because I deal with so many people in spirituality, but so many people who work in a similar field to ours or anything in spirituality or healing have this agreement that you can't make a lot of money if you work in this field. That's something that's in their mind. That's not true. That's an agreement that they have made, or it could be brought forward from a past life. It could be something they were raised with. You know, I can remember my mom and dad saying, no, you can't be a singer because singers don't make a living. That's not true. I mean, plenty of people make a living as a singer. So same is true for spirituality. How many of us here were reluctant to charge for our services in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
I know I was.
I had extreme difficulty with that 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah. And why would we? Why would the basketball stars who have a God-given gift to shoot baskets, are they reluctant to sign with the NBA and make $2.5 million a year or whatever they make now? No, you know, they're okay with making money, and it's okay for you out there. If you're healers, if you're readers, whatever it is, you know, whatever your gift is, you were given that gift for a reason. If you can find a way to do it for a living, that's fantastic.
One thing that really helped me move past that, which isn't totally related to ascension, but I feel that when we are able to ask for compensation for our efforts, that is a factor, because that has to do with how we view our work and the value of our work and how other people see the value of our efforts. And it's very interesting, because I had kind of a life-changing experience, numerous, when I was 27. It was like that was my year of wake-up call. And I had someone tell me, who was another psychic and intuitive who was in this field, and she just said point blank, you know, you have to realize that you have, first of all, to survive in the real world, but also the reality is, if you do not consider that your work has any value, no one else will either, because they'll feel that from you. And a monetary value was what she was specifically talking about. And it was really helpful, because after that I realized, okay, you know, we do have to have an income. We have to live in this capitalist world where everything costs money. I feel like a lot of the healers and practitioners out there struggle with that so much. So that tiny concept for me was a real game changer.
Well, I just wrote that down. Like 4 weeks from now, we will do a creating abundance topic, because I think we all have a lot to say about how we overcame that, how we met the challenge, things we recommend. I think that's a show unto itself right there, but it's just like one tiny topic within overcoming the density of being human. And another one, we've kind of touched on it a little bit, is to ground into a new reality of your choosing, one that's good for you, that has the beliefs, the thoughts, and the language that work to the benefit of yourself and others. And that is one way of catching yourself. We've mentioned it before, but in other shows, but catching yourself when you're saying self-limiting things or doing self-limiting things or even thinking it, and just turning that around, you know, whether it's about yourself or others or the world, we have to create that new reality where what we're doing when we say those negative things is we're repeating things we've heard, things we've read, but we don't really want to believe that, do we? We don't want to believe that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's going to be. We're always going to have turmoil. There's always going to be war. I mean, that's what's been ground into us. But does that make us feel good? Does that the world we want? It's not what I want.
No way.
Mm-mm. Not at all. And an obvious one is connecting with your angels and guides. You need to connect with your angels and guides or even other beings of the light. All of us have these beings come to us. It's not like I'm going, hey, come see me, but there they are. And that's true for all four of us having these high-level beings coming to us. Welcome that. Go ahead and invite them. Put it out there. You know, if there's high-level beings out there that wish to communicate and help me, I welcome you to come visit me. And then don't be afraid when they do. You can feel the frequency of the light. It's very, very high frequency. You might even hear that high-pitched ringing in one of your ears when they come in, just like when angels can come in. But connecting to these high-level beings, I mean, they're the ones who have far more knowledge of what we need to achieve than anybody on this earth does.
I think that's like the number one question that people will ask me sometimes is, how do you know the difference between a lower-level being and a higher-level being? And I always say that you know the difference, whether you see, feel, hear, whatever it is, you will know the difference between a lower level being and a higher level being.
Yeah. If you get that sick feeling in your stomach, if it makes you feel scared, those are all signs that something you don't want there is there, and banish that. But, you know, I haven't had something like that in quite a long time, but when it's something of the light, you don't have to realize exactly what it is to know it's of the light. And Terri Ann's totally right with that. You're going to feel it. You're going to know it. So it's not like, I know some people, I have a person in my family who worries greatly about the work that I do. How do you know these are angels? I wish I could show you what I see. I wish I could help you feel what I feel. But I have zero doubt in my mind I'm dealing with angels. I have dealt with the dark. I know what the dark is like. There's no confusing those two things right there at all. You know?
No question there.
No, not at all. I don't have to sit back and go, huh, was that an angel? So I do think that's something, if you're already on that journey, good for you. And if you're not, that's a really great starting point. One of the great starting points is just really starting to communicate. It opens up your chakras. It opens you up to experience more beautiful things in your life. And another one is staying in the moment. You know, that whole thing, that Eckhart Tolle of the power of now, there is power in the moment. It's the only thing we have truly, the moment we're experiencing right now. So if we're worrying about what's going to happen, or we're beating ourselves up about something we did, we are wasting this gift. So trying to let go of those things, it's hard for me because I'm a Virgo with OCD. And so Roz knows, like, I'm a natural worrier, but I've gotten a really great grip on it overall in recent years out of a ton of moment by moment effort. to not worry so much, and I don't make myself sick with things anymore like I used to. It's totally wasting this moment. So that's a pretty simple concept. But again, like Ross said about something earlier, easier said than done. It's that constant supervision of your thoughts, words, and actions, right?
And the focus. I mean, you to do the work to process everything that's going on and to strategically move through your ascension, you have to focus your energy. You have to do the work. And I know a lot of people question that, and they look at it and they go, well, it shouldn't be that much work. It should just flow. Okay.
There's a reason why it takes many lifetimes to ascend. It's a reason.
You know, we are ultimately, we're human beings, and we're not perfect. So we got to work on these things.
What?
Ah, terrible.
And one that I'm so glad, Terry, and we're hoping you could be with us today, because some of the stuff I think is right up your alley too. Activating your higher frequencies, your chakras that are above the crown chakra. Some, you know, a lot of people work with the seven ones that are within the body, but there's five above your crown. So activating those higher frequency chakras can be extremely helpful with moving towards ascension.
Yeah. And most people aren't aware that there's chakras above our head. When I say things like that to them, they're like, I thought there was only seven or in the body. And I'm like, no, they're above your head and below your feet as well. So it is eye-opening for them to then see and understand where we're looking at those higher perspectives. Those are the ones we would like to live from daily in our human experience. But it always, sometimes we go into those lower ones that pull us back into this human, those old thoughts, beliefs, and patterns that come up.
And it's good that we have them open. We want them all open, but it's those above the crown that open us up to seeing things as they really are, to stepping out of being pure human and stepping more into being beings of light with the knowledge we carry forward from all our lifetimes and from the afterlife. We have all that knowledge and experience in there, but you have to open these up to connect with it. Same with going into the Akashic Records. That's another one that's, you can heal the karma from yourself, your soul group, by going into the Akashic Records and accessing your file. And even if you're not an Akashic Records reader, you can learn to do that for yourself. Kind of like anybody can learn to communicate with spirits of their own deceased loved ones. You can learn how to access your own Akashic Records file, and there can be a lot of wonderful knowledge and healing from that. I think this is something Terry Ann might do, drawing sacred geometry, or maybe it was Melissa. It activates your Merkaba. And you know, I have a funny story about that. Like, there was a time when I was not living in Sedona yet. I hadn't met any of these lovely ladies, and I was just at home in my bedroom. And one night, there was a Merkaba over my dresser, like 3 feet away from me, spinning. And I didn't know what that was. I watched it for a couple of hours. And then I mentioned it to one of my friends in Sedona. They're like, oh my God, that's the Merkaba, you know? And I had no idea what it was. But around that time, I started really doing a lot of journeying to other places. That's when I was seeing that pyramid. I was lying in the grass looking up at the pyramid with a breeze, but I was actually in my bed, in my bedroom, and other places I would go. So the whole point of that, it allows the activating your Merkaba. The Merkaba allows transportation to other dimensions. So that's something that can, if you're interested in that, really rev up that ascension process as well. Start things moving. You're going to have a rapid fast forward on your journey once that happens. How about this is one for you, Terry Ann, activating and using light language. I've seen you do this.
Before I even knew what it was, I was doing it.
So what do you think's the benefits of that when it comes to ascension?
I think it definitely creates that deeper wisdom, that connection that we have with ourselves. You're starting to receive information, you're not sure where it's coming from, who it's coming from, and you want to understand it. It's creating that direct wisdom with your higher self. It really also helps to clear karma. It helps to with the DNA activation too, to help you clear some of those old beliefs, thoughts, patterns, and to get you to, you know, easier. How would I word it? I like to say level up.
Now, it's interesting because I feel like many people there are signs that they're receiving, that they're in the ascension process, but they're not really prepared for those yet. They're kind of still in their coming out of their quote unquote 3D world, as you say. And the reality is that some of these things that happen, like you're describing, suddenly you've seen the Merkaba. I have never seen the Merkaba, but I watched a movie some years back, and it was with Jodie Foster. I can't think of the name of it, but she went down a wormhole. And I've always had those experiences where I was moving through this dark tunnel, and then all of a sudden there's lights going by me, and I'm headed out to a different dimensional field. I don't necessarily do anything to start that. It just starts happening, and I never had the realization of what was going on. And when I was younger, I would think, okay, I'm doing some kind of astral projection, but I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going along for the ride. And I think there is so much information out there now, and I really encourage people to start to do a little research on some of these things that are happening to people, because I've had some clients come in and they thought they were having a medical event. They thought that something medically was scary was happening to them, when in fact they were experiencing what I consider to be a part of the process of going in and out of dimensional fields. And that's going to shock a lot of people when they start to think about that, because we have a lot of physicians and we have a lot of psychiatrists and other people who would go, oh no, you know, you're having, I remember someone telling me one time, you're having a severe blood pressure event. Well, I've been having a lifetime of a severe blood pressure event, but that doesn't explain all this other stuff going on over here. So I think if we're open and we start to really look at some of the things that are happening with us, as the four of us are describing, open your mind to the possibility that these are not anything except your normal part of your ascension process. And anyone who suddenly is seeing sacred geometry, or they're experiencing feeling out of body, they're automatically assuming that they're having some terrifying medical event, when they could just be crossing into a different dimensional field. So give that some thought.
One of you said earlier, like, this looks different for every person. And that's why we can't give you a list of first, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot of similarities, but it may happen in different order. You may experience things some people don't, vice versa. So don't worry about what's happening with other people, but feel free to ask us if something's happening to you. You know, contact us through the website and let us know. Well, that's what we're here for. One of the big things we do is help people who are on their spiritual journey and they're starting to awaken, or they're far into awakening.
And they're scared to death.
They can be scared to death. I remember thinking I was crazy, and we've all mentioned that before. I can laugh about it now, but it didn't feel funny at the time at all. I was really scared, and I thought I was going crazy. But another thing that's really helpful is meditation. You know, I think we talk about that. We probably talk about it on most of our shows, and that's how important meditation is. However, whatever form you want to do, just to give your subconscious mind a chance to rise up and give these beings a chance to communicate with you with your mind out of the way, so that you're more receptive.
That's a really good point.
It's another one of those basic things that, you know, I think we still have to say it. And another one, we've talked about this again and again, but avoiding low frequency entertainment. And it's not saying you can't watch any TV, you can't listen to any music, but you have to police. If something makes you feel uncomfortable, if something makes you feel that pain in your solar plexus, you feel a little queasy, that's your energetic field telling you that's not good for you. That's your frequency lowering, even as you're feeling that. So this falls right into place with closely monitoring your frequency. We have mentioned this on other shows when it falls into play, but that's probably the most tiring one, and yet the absolutely necessary one. We can't do the work we do unless we closely monitor our frequency minute by minute, hour by hour, day after day.
I've encountered a lot of people over the years that really did not realize they were experiencing an addiction. They just thought it was entertainment, but it was definitely something that impacted their ability to be in that higher frequency of consciousness. And it's really important to look at that.
Are we talking about like mindless TV watching or mindless video games playing on your phone?
No, I'm not necessarily talking about mind altering drugs. I'm talking about electronic items that take you over, and television itself. Like this was information from decades ago, but when you sit down in front of a television, within 12 seconds you're going into hypnosis. Within 5 minutes, think about all the times you've watched something on television and you're so mind controlled in it that you absolutely do not know anything going on around you. You're totally involved in that program or whatever it is. Video games definitely do that. And those places take your brain into a totally different frequency. Of course, we're mind, body, spirit being. So it impacts your entire frequency. And yeah, you start to sink down into those lower frequencies, which if you've never really thought about it and you've never really applied the test to what you're doing, you don't even realize it. It's really important to think about these things.
And the people who developed, the early developers of Facebook, Instagram, sites like that, they have come out and said, we intentionally made it addictive. It was designed to be an addictive activity. And that's true for, you know, Facebook, Instagram, anything that takes you into your phone and you go down the rabbit hole. That's intentional to get you to spend more time on it more often so that you have a hard time not doing that. So they did that intentionally and understand that then those can easily become an addiction. And they are already, for millions of people around the world, are addicted to these things. So we have to put the effort ourselves into fighting against that. It's not easy, especially when people go, oh, everybody watches TV. Everybody plays on their, everybody looks on their phone at that stuff. Most people do. And they're unaware of the dangers of it as far as if you want to move ahead spiritually, if you want to reach the ascension, you know, if you want to get to that point, then these are things you can't do what everybody else does. That's the bottom line.
That's what it comes down to, right? We have to be in our space, as you were saying earlier. And it is about making that time daily. And I think for me, I have a lot of women clients that really struggle with finding the time to do their spiritual work because they have children, they have spouses, they have jobs. So for them, they're always like, oh, I don't have time to do 5 minutes of meditation or to do. And I'm like, that's a cop out. You have plenty of time. You just have to carve out that time. You've got to learn to start saying no. And that's where we go into those boundaries and looking at the bigger picture of it, because we all have time to spend time on within ourselves.
We do, and we must if you want to make progress with this. And the last thing I wanted to bring up is, and I think it's a biggie, is the bottom line is make your main focus about serving and love. And if you can, find a way to do it for a living. Because I know I've never been happier in my life than when I'm able to do serving and love for my living. You know, I can't imagine wanting to do anything else It just feels so good. And it feeds you spiritually through your work. There's reason why so many people right now are saying, I've been in a corporate position all my life. Oh boy, I feel the angels coming in as I say this. I've been in a corporate position all my life, and I just feel like I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do something with my spiritual gifts. I want to delve more into my spiritual life and make that my focus. That is happening on a huge level around the world right now.
And at the same time, which is a wonderful thing, I feel like the corporations, which have taken over many people's lives, are losing. They're starting to lose their ability to control everyone's lives because of so many things that are in flux right now. And of course, the number one thing was the pandemic when that hit. I mean, so many people that had lived their entire life in corporate America suddenly were forced out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to look for something else to do. And they found different living situations, different locations, different jobs, different whatever. And I think a good part of them, it became a spiritual journey during this process.
The last thing I wanted to say about this topic today is, if you are wanting to ascend, if you are struggling with your journey, if you want your journey to speed up, visit our website, check it out. You know, all four of us do mentoring. So you can go through our web designer, Ed has created the coolest thing where you click on a button that says start here. And it works, it walks you through the process of figuring out who's going to be the best fit for you, which is nice because you can have some assurance that it's going to be a great fit before you even have your first session with one of us. Tune in next week when our topic is angelic protection. And in the meantime, we hope you have a very enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.